This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Bill Hanna has made the transition from being the president and CEO of the Northwest Indiana Regional Development Authority to a new role as executive director of the Dean and Barbara White Family Foundation, based in Merrillville. And we're going to have a chance to find out more about not only the foundation itself, how it's been doing lately, but some of the plans for the future and the priorities. And first, as we get started, we should tell you Lakeshore Public Radio gets a grant from the Dean and Barbara White Family Foundation. And Bill, thank you very much for being with us on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about the transition that you've made from one major organization to another, kind of narrowing the scope, but still very much concerned with the well-being of residents here in Northwest Indiana.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it felt like a natural fit. It's still Northwest Indiana, you know, Lake and Porter counties, primarily Lake County. Mm-hmm. But we had gotten to the place with the RDA, where we had achieved full funding of the Westlake Corridor expansion and the double track project through the FTA. And that was all, you know, announced fairly recently. And that was something I wanted to stay in the position at the RDA, the CEO position, until those projects were complete and we had delivered on what we said we were going to do. And so it felt like a good time to make a transition as well. And so those projects, you know, they're beginning construction here pretty immediately, and they'll be working on those for the next 5 years, building them out. And you know, I always kind of felt like in a position like that, you should stay as long as you can perform the mission in the way that you know, put it out and complete that vision. And once that's done, it's a public function, and it's probably somebody else's time to take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And bring some different level of foresight into it and that kind of thing. So I think it was a good time to leave for those couple of reasons, but I always wanted to stay involved in what was going on in my home area. And this opportunity with the Dean and Barbara White Family Foundation was a very unique one, and to me a very important one with a lot of potential.
I know that it is a prominent foundation. In fact, the name literally is prominent now. It's on the sign for the Dean and Barbara White Family Foundation Community Center, which is located in Merrillville. But there's probably not many people that really know the function of the foundation. We go through some of the strategic priorities that the foundation is set up and functions with, and look at the future.
That center is a great example, and of course a very recent one, where you know, we're really looking for economic development impacts, sustainability, region-wide benefits, and the matching sort of elements, you know, partnerships. And so we believe in partnerships, and we did at the RDA as well. You know, when people make investments in themselves and they're side-by-side at the table with you, that produces, in a lot of cases, sustainability. Everybody's rowing in the same direction, and resources have been put up, and everyone cares enough to make that happen. And in that example of the community center, you have that on the financial side, for starters. The town really stepped up. They're redeveloping a property that wasn't at its best and highest use. And so that approaches your economic development potential. There's a lot of traffic created coming in and out of a place like this, and it should benefit local businesses. And create a town center environment for Merrillville. And then, you know, within the confines of what goes on inside, you have all ages in attendance, and really geared toward health and wellness and safety, education, and again, a sense of community. And so, you know, from seniors to children. And so these things become very powerful. And I think, you know, when you talk to the members of the White family, they're looking for these kinds of things. And so in interacting with Bruce the other day, we were talking about that facility, in the sense that, you know, he's always been, and the family's been involved in, they've created a lot of venues, you know, and but the magic of the venue, it's like he was saying, it's, you know, like his dad would have viewed it as a house. And the magic happens when the family comes together within the house. That's really what the venue is about. It's mm-hmm. facilitating interaction, you know, in an atmosphere where people exchange ideas and they grow, and there's excitement, and there's high points of their lives happening within these things. And so the center represents, you know, a project that brings that together, as do the YMCA projects. You know, Purdue, the Union Center, the hotel there, you know, interaction with these larger interactions with the larger institutions that you know, bring these important elements in place. And so you can see examples of what I'm talking about throughout what they've done so far. And again, you know, the latest being the community center, really, it's really a timely thing to look at and see where this all comes together.
Mm-hmm. And I know in the case of the community center in Merrillville, it's taking a piece of land and turning it into its best possible uses, even though it's stayed in the way as a recreational facility, or at least a community facility, as for people that happen to remember, that used to be the site of a drive-in theater not so many decades ago that went bust and laid fallow for so many years. And finally, that was the opportunity for the town of Merrillville to be able to create it into something that everybody in the community can take advantage of.
Right. Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing when you can really jump into that space and do something that, again, it's not really about brick and mortar. It gives it an opportunity to house what goes on inside, and that energy and that focus and that attendance and repetition of being there and just being accustomed to that being such a place of positivity, it has to have a positive impact on properties that are adjacent to it and the town itself. It's also region-wide, you know. I mean, this facility is going to draw people from all over the region.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just good for Northwest Indiana. You know, when we start really focusing on what we have in common and sharing things together that are important to us, you know, activities like sports involving kids, arts, you know, just general activity, health and wellness, like I said before. You see things come out of that build strong communities. That part of it is important to the future, and it creates its own thing.
And as you mentioned earlier about the fact that the foundation's very supportive of organizations that support well-being of residents and recreation and other types of activities. But you go back to the work that has been done, the support from the foundation for the new South Lake YMCA in Crown Point.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible, if you've been there, if you haven't, I encourage you to go look. And it happens throughout that YMCA system. I was with the city of Valparaiso when they moved the Y out of downtown and on the north side, and we were doing redevelopment project up there.
Uh-huh.
And it breathes life into areas. And again, you know, it has all the elements that the community center in Merrillville has as well, in terms of it's not just about sports. You know, it's a community center. It's health and wellness. It's for all ages. It's an amenity that puts a town on a map sometimes. It's just an attractive feature to people who want to move in. It has a positive effect on your real estate values. And it's a tremendous thing, and it just speaks to the idea that quality of life pieces and amenities are important to human beings. We need to interact with each other. We need these things, and it makes the community attractive in so many ways, and it builds sustainability of quality of life in. People, you know, they hold these things up and they make them work because they're important.
We're talking with Bill Hanna. He's executive director of the Dean and Barbara White Family Foundation, which is based here in Lake County at Merrillville. We're also talking about various topics and areas of concern that the foundation has been involved in and looking to the future. And you talked earlier, Bill, about the fact that the foundation has helped out with Purdue University on some major projects, in particular the historic Union Club Hotel down on the West Lafayette campus. And I guess it fits in very nicely with the fact that the family has been certainly involved in lodging. The fact that the family White Lodging is still out there as a brand, and with activities and with properties all around the country, I guess. And so it's not surprising that the foundation would want to support Purdue University as they try to upgrade a very, very famous and very busy facility down there on campus.
Yeah, it's these things are so important from the standpoint of, if you step back a little ways and kind of take a strategic look at what goes on, which is what we're going to be doing moving forward, especially is laying things out where we can really anticipate a broad impact. This one in particular, you know, you're partnering with a world-class and world-known organization and institution at Purdue University. It's an ambassador in a lot of ways for the state of Indiana to the world, as is IU and other things like that, but certainly Purdue. And we have a regional campus presence as well. And so the relationship beyond just the projects themselves with these institutions are incredibly important, and there's synergy created when you bring these things together and you pull in the same direction. And, of course, you know, like you said, the intersection of what the White family has done so well over time and the generosity, it can be seen in this project. It's neat to see a culmination of those things where you have the lodging aspect of it, which is, again, more about human beings and interaction than it is just staying somewhere, and then where it's located. The intersection of that in Purdue University, a place that does research and development and leads the world in so many areas, and such an impact on the state broadly, too. I love seeing these kinds of investments made and gifts made where, again, it's not just about you're getting the sustainability, but you're getting the power of that institution with it, too, and the effect on so many lives going forward for so long.
I know that the foundation has been working very hard over the last year or so to do its part to help lessen the impact of the coronavirus pandemic on not only associates of White Lodging, but the communities as well here in the region. With that in mind, are there any other things that the foundation is interested in or going to be working on to help help deal with the situation? We're still in the pandemic. We still have issues to deal with economically and socially. And anything that the foundation is looking at and trying to help do?
Yeah. Well, we're looking, again, I think we have been at least saying, but we're in the process right now of looking at our strategic plan. And so we would be looking at things that are long term, like we've been talking about in terms of facilities and grants and so forth. And we're also looking at alignment of institutions to see how can we all participate as 501c3s in a way that we're all filling the right lanes and taking advantage of the expertise we all provide and moving together, with the idea being that the people that will benefit is the objective, the primary. And so this, and then you have short-term issues, which shorter-term issues, which the pandemic is, of course, dragged on longer than we'd like and that kind of thing. But, you know, the idea that we would come out of this here fairly quickly and then be able to use these facilities that are being created without impediment. So I think that's an issue that we'll keep an eye on for sure and look for opportunities to be helpful in as we go forward. It does relate to, like I say, ultimately, it does relate to what we're creating elsewhere, you know, places for people to be together.
That's very true. Well, it seems that the Dean and Barbara White Foundation is going to keep a close eye on not only the pandemic and the impact, but also all the other projects that are worthy in Northwest Indiana to get support. And Bill Hanna, thank you very much for spending time going over the projects and bringing us up to date. And the best of luck to you and everybody involved with the foundation in helping keep Northwest Indiana not only healthy, but the well-being rising and economic rising as well, too. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
This is Regionally Speaking on listener-supported Lakeshore Public Radio. It's a bicentennial campaign that's been underway at Indiana University Northwest, a campaign that has brought together so far more than $10 million. To find out more about it, let's talk with the Vice Chancellor for University Advancement and External Affairs at IU Northwest. Jerry Pat Gabbard is with us. And Ms. Gabbard, thank you for being with us on Regionally Speaking today.
Thank you, Chris. I'm excited to talk more about the campaign with you.
This is a very, very ambitious fundraising campaign that got underway in 2015. Will you tell us more about the IU Bicentennial Campaign?
The IU Bicentennial Campaign has really been a celebration of Indiana University. Indiana University celebrated its bicentennial in 2020, and so as part of that bicentennial effort, they launched a comprehensive campaign that included all IU campuses coming together in support of one common goal. Mm-hmm. And so on our campus at Indiana University Northwest, we launched our effort as a part of that, an $8 million campaign to raise funds to further the mission of Indiana University Northwest right here in Northwest Indiana. Mm-hmm. The whole campus came together to support this effort, so it's been really exciting.
Now, since the country and Northwest Indiana has been suffering some economic hardship, of course, during the coronavirus pandemic, how do you attribute such generosity during, I guess you have to consider, one of the most, if not the most, trying time in recent years?
Absolutely. It's been definitely a difficult year with a lot of people facing hardship this past year, and we, of course, are continuing to see that. While 2020 certainly saw a multitude of hardships, we also saw a great deal of resiliency in the social goods sector. If you look at the charitable giving report and other information that's coming out of the fundraising school, which is housed at the Indiana University Lilly Family School of Philanthropy, the social goods sector, people are still giving during this time. And so that resiliency certainly is happening. Hardships certainly faced our campus family, our students. We ignited our student emergency fund to help these students with tuition and other costs. And so we're making sure that we can help meet the needs of our students and mm-hmm. where they are in returning to IU Northwest. And being able to pursue their education and their goals.
Can you talk about any of the impact of the success on the campaign on the community as well as on IU Northwest itself?
Absolutely. This campaign has had a great deal of success and impact not only on IU Northwest, but also in the community. And so I'm excited to tell you a little bit more about that. Mm-hmm. Each year, IU Northwest generates approximately $264 million in economic impact, and this campaign was certainly a part of that. We had four primary campaign goals, and so let me talk a little bit about each one of them and okay. the impact that they've had. The first being around student success and regional leadership. We created, as a result of this, due to the philanthropy of so many 44 new scholarships that we will be distributing out to our students to enable them to provide a financial support to our students that come to IU Northwest. Those scholarships also include some funding to support student internships and international study abroad opportunities, which is really exciting. Another piece of the campaign, goal of the campaign, is funding for faculty research. Our faculty are doing just outstanding research in their fields. Many times they're doing that in partnership with our community members, and community organizations. So that partnership is really critical. And often in that research, they're working right alongside students. They're bringing students into the fold, partnering with them, and getting that research back out into the field. But also our students get that firsthand knowledge of that expertise in the classroom. A third goal was around creating innovative learning environments. Certainly saw this coming to fruition through improvements and renovation in our athletic facilities. We're ensuring our student athletes have what they need on and off the court, which is really critical. Outdoor green spaces where our students and communities can come together for learning and fun, and we look forward to being able to do that more in the future. Mm-hmm. And then another example, and probably one of my favorite examples, is through the School of Business and Economics. We had a donor step forward and provide funding for a student trading floor where our students are able to learn firsthand about the stock market. And they even, the donor provided some initial funding, real money for our students to learn how to invest in the stock market. And so they're able to watch the progression of how their investments panned off in future days and years. And then the fourth and final goal for our campus was around creating a healthier community. As you know, our College of Health and Human Services and the School of Medicine, right there housed on our Northwest Gary campus, partnering and coming together to make sure that we have the most state-of-the-art learning equipment for our health professionals and scholarship support for those as well. So really a wonderful opportunity, and we're just absolutely thrilled to see that the campaign has had such a tremendous impact on our IU Northwest family, our faculty, our staff, and students, but also through our community partnerships, which are so important to us as an anchor institution for the Northwest Indiana community.
Well, it certainly sounds like this portion of the overall campaign that is entitled For All, the Indiana University Bicentennial Campaign, has done very, very well for the IU Northwest campus. Chancellor Gabbard, thank you very much for spending time going over the details with us, and the best of luck, and hope that some future fundraising efforts will certainly benefit the Gary campus even more. Thanks very much today.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Chris.
That's Jerry Pat Gabbard. She is the Vice Chancellor of University Advancement and External Affairs for Indiana University Northwest. Construction is getting underway soon now that the weather is broken onto what will become a 165,000 square foot municipal solid waste and recyclables processing facility on the west edge of Gary. Maya Energy LLC CEO Jim Ventura was with us to talk about the company, about this project, and about the need to better handle Northwest Indiana's waste, including the leftovers of abandoned buildings in the city of Gary.
My Energy is a LLC that we put together in 2015 for the mission of being able to responsibly be able to recycle waste in a manner that was effective and efficient and avoid the waste going to our landfill, which affects the greenhouse gases. With that said, we formed a company. We moved through a process in Gary where we secured 35 acres off Grant Street and 35th Avenue in Gary, Indiana. Mm-hmm. The process took a long time, it took several years, because we have to go through local zoning notices and so forth, council meetings, public hearings. So it was a very, very complicated, very detailed process that we went through, and we completed it, and I'm glad that we're here today.
I understand that it's the same general area, at least not far away, as to where Lake County Solid Waste Management District's composting site's located out there. They're along 35th and Grant. So it's kind of become an environmentally a processing area, hasn't it?
Exactly. And we look forward to working with the Lake County Solid Waste because I know they do the leaf collection. And we're going to be having, you know, what we call wood waste branches and so forth. So We looking forward to working with them also.
Now, I understand that Maya Energy LLC is going to use some of the latest state-of-the-art technology to be able to better process this waste that you're bringing in. First off, will you talk a little bit about what the processes will be, as well as how the collection process is going to be able to get the communities to bring this material in?
Sure. First of all, the technology has really come a long way in the last 7 years, recycling process. So we are using a company out of San Francisco, California, called the CP Group. They've been around for a long time. They have actually put in their system in over 400 material recovery facilities worldwide. So we visited the plant. We liked the equipment. We liked the company. So we partnered with them to bring in the technology to our facility. The technology they have, We'll use the latest recycling technology to be able to take out the paper, plastic, and cardboard. Municipal solid waste, we will use things like optical sorters that shoots a beam and a light at different types of plastic bottles, and it separates them into 2D, 3D, and so forth. Mm-hmm. We also are looking right now, we're looking very closely into using the latest, which is robotics, to be able to take a wood to be able to separate it. And these robotic arms pick the waste off a conveyor. They can do probably 4,000 picks a minute. Unbelievable. You know, six times more than a human can do it. So we're looking at that also. And we're also looking at safeguards with the COVID right now, how to be able to have a facility that safeguards the workers, kind of make sure that they don't handle the waste too much, and again, protects them and protects their health.
Speaking of staff members, how many people do you hope eventually the facility will be able to have out there as employees to help the city of Gary in particular?
Now, Chris, we're looking at, to start off, we're looking at probably about 55 to 65 full-time employees. We're looking at another 40 ancillary jobs, those are like trucking and so forth. And then total, I would say over the next couple of years, looking at about 125 full-time employees. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that some of the initial information that's come out here when Maya Energy LLC was formed talks about the material that you want to collect and you want to be able to process. And that includes both municipal solid waste, which people basically considered trash or garbage, I guess is, mm-hmm. is the old-fashioned term for it, but also construction and demolition debris. For people that are not familiar with what that is, tell us about that and how you're hoping that the facility that you're building out there in Gary is going to be able to handle that and get that off to different uses.
Yes. So, Chris, what we're going to do is we're going to have several lines. We're going to have two dedicated lines strictly for municipal solid waste in the facility, and we're going to have one line dedicated to the separation of the C&D waste, which is construction and demolition debris, which comes from abandoned houses, new housing, construction, any waste that comes out of there. We will take it and we will separate wood, we will separate drywall and so forth, and concrete, and we will recycle it back into, you know, into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got very experienced people to do this. Our superintendent has had over 30 years in the waste business. He's ran huge facilities. So we've got a good team to do it. And we've got a lot of interested cities and independent haulers interested in bringing us the waste.
Has the opportunity to be able to locate the facility in Gary been to your all advantage, especially since we know that the city administration wants to deal with the abandoned houses, and there are unfortunately so many of them in the city of Gary, and then there's been some work, I know, to be able to process some of the waste from these abandoned houses, but there's probably a lot more to come in.
Absolutely. I had a conference call with the mayor a couple of weeks ago and his economic development director. They went real well, and we did discuss the C&D problem, the abandoned houses in Gary. And we're looking to sit with the city of Gary in the next couple of weeks to try to work out a solution. And Maya is, we told them, Mayor, we're here to help work with the city to make it possible to be able to knock these houses, recycle them, and so forth, and work closely with the city of Gary. It was a very positive conversation.
I know that there are other organizations and businesses in Gary that are now dealing with handling solid waste. Carmu's Lime up there off Lake Michigan is also using their own processes that they've set up to be able to bring solid waste in, municipal solid waste in particular, and turn that into processes. What are you hoping that Maya Energy LLC can do that might be a little different?
Well, first of all, I know Carmu's. I've been to their facility there. What they basically do, they take a lot of the hazardous oils, the sludges, okay, where we deal with strictly municipal solid waste, mm-hmm. construction, demolition, debris. We're different than what they do, and they process it right there in Carmu's, because Carmu's, they own 50% of Vexor, who does all the processing for them. So we're different. We have a different market. We've got such an overwhelming support from haulers. We're strategically located in the right position. Over 10,000 to 12,000 tons of municipal solid waste go right through the area into the landfill in Union County. We're working closely with our engineers, with Robinson Engineering. We're doing soil borings on 35th Avenue, and we're looking to get our first permit, actually, so we can put in a culvert, and we're going to put in the entrance to the facility that will allow us now to start bringing in trucks, crushed rock, dirt, and start elevating the property. That will happen within the next, I would say, 30 to 60 days. We're going to be staking out the property pretty soon. They will see stakes out there. We're working on the foundation designs, get them approved by the city. And I would say by March, toward the end of March, maybe April, you're going to start seeing the foundation of the building go up. And we'll hopefully be open by the end of the year.
That's Maya Energy LLC, Chief Executive Officer Jim Ventura. That's it for Regionally Speaking for today. And I'm Chris Nolte. Thank you very much for being with us. And our thanks to our guests for being on the program today. We'll be back with you with more features and more looks at the events here in Northwest Indiana on tomorrow's Regionally Speaking.